Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to another episode of Prophetic News on Blog Talk Radio. And we have a special guest for you today, and we're going to be talking about aliens, UFOs, gun control, the end times. So Christine will be with me, and it should be a great program. So stay tuned. I just have a couple of announcements and a few things that I wanted to mention. Our friend James Sundquist, a frequent guest on this program, he will be at Tree of Life with John Murray, who also is a guest on our program. He pastors the church in Nanticoke, Pennsylvania, and James will be speaking there tomorrow evening. So if anybody lives near Nanticoke, PA, here's the phone number, 570-735-4737. And you can go over and meet James and talk to him. I'm sure you'll have a great time of fellowship there. That's the Tree of Life Christian Fellowship in Nanticoke, PA, and that's on East State Street. So I hope you can go. Also, you know that the flu season is upon us, and you don't have to get the flu. There's a product that I like to recommend, and it really works good. It's a natural antibiotic, and it's made from grapefruit seed extract. Now imagine that. It has no side effects. It has the grapefruit seed extract and echinacea and wormwood, and that'll kill anything. So you don't have to go get a toxic vaccine full of mercury and aluminum and lead and who knows what else. It's made by Nutribiotics. And it's called grapefruit seed extract with echinacea and wormwood. So I recommend that. You can save yourself a lot of heartache because, you know, antibiotics themselves are very dangerous. People get terrible side effects. They don't realize why they get all these intestinal disturbances. But antibiotics wipe out the good bacteria and the bad bacteria. So you can wreak havoc with your digestive system. So you're better off taking something natural. And also, you know that the vaccines, if you do a search on the internet, you can also go to my website, propheticnews.com, and you can look at some of the side effects of vaccines, also what they contain. I'm sure you would be shocked to know that most vaccines contain aborted baby tissue. So you definitely don't want to inject yourself with that, and you don't want to inject your children with that. So do a search on the internet, vaccines made from abortion, or go to my website and you can see the links there. There's also aluminum, mercury, and all kinds of things that you don't need. So be smart before you let somebody come at you with a hypodermic needle and you don't know what's in it. You might be very, very sorry later on because these things do catch up with you. You definitely don't want to get sick. Once you get sick, it's hard to get well. It's better to try to stay healthy, watch what you eat, and take care of yourself. So I recommend those things. And also, we're in the football season's coming to an end, and it could be anybody. I don't know who's going to the Super Bowl, but we'll see who it is, because it looks like it could be anybody at this point. Amen? And so, what's your favorite team? I don't know who my favorite team is this year, but I like football. I mean, it is sometimes a violent sport. It makes me angry when people are so violent with it. But I like the team aspect of it. And sometimes it can be a very exciting game. A little distraction from everyday life. Amen. So what does the Bible say? Now, we're going to be talking today, and I'm just waiting for my guest to call in, but we're going to be talking today about UFOs. And do UFOs really exist? I don't think so. Who are the aliens, the true aliens? Well, of course, we know that the body of Christ, Christians, are aliens in this land. This earth is not our home. We are citizens of heaven when we're born again. So we're just passing through here. And we know that our life, like the Bible says, our life is but a vapor. And have you ever noticed, if you ever have anyone that you know pass away, that scripture becomes so real that your life is but a vapor, because they're here 1 minute and then they're gone, and they're a memory, and they're not here anymore, and hopefully they went on to their reward. They went on to be with Jesus in heaven. And as born again believers, we know that we can go to heaven. We have a guarantee of having a heavenly home after we leave here, and having eternal life through Jesus Christ. We don't have to work for it. It's a free gift, and all we have to do is accept it. So, anyway, I don't like to make salvation difficult. I'm not one that's against altar calls or sinner's prayer, or that's how I got saved. I wasn't at an altar, but I was in a hotel room, and I got down on my knees and asked Jesus to come into my life and change my life. And I didn't really know if I believed it or not at the time. I was still skeptical, but I asked the Lord to come in, and he came in, and he changed my life so radically, changed my life for the better, literally overnight. So old things passed away, and behold, all things become new. And it's a miracle, really, the born-again experience, how God can change our life, and we go from having an old, dumb life, really dumb, to having a new life in Christ. So how does that happen? You know, how does that happen? When it's simple, really. You say a prayer, you ask Jesus to reveal himself to you, and he does. So it's not difficult. I know I've seen some people on the internet, and they get upset about altar calls, and they get upset about sinner's prayer. Well, I don't, because how are people going to hear unless, like the Bible says, unless you send a preacher? So, it's not difficult. You repent of your sins, and you ask Jesus to come in, and he comes in, and not a difficult thing. But I wanted to read a few scriptures to you because you know that the Bible says that we are the true aliens. I know that there are some people out there, and they want to tell you that there's life on other planets. Well, if there was really life on other planets, then Jesus would have gone to those planets, and he didn't. So he only came to one planet, and he came to planet Earth. Of course, he lives on the planet Heaven, but there aren't any other people living on other planets flying around in flying saucers and trying to communicate with you. I know they're trying to make a big deal now about going to Mars, and they're going to find, supposedly, they're going to find life there. And I don't know why they waste their money doing that, because they're not going to find any life on Mars. Oh, dear. Anyway, Lamentations 5:2 says, our inheritance is turned to strangers, our houses to aliens. Ephesians 2:12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. So once we were aliens away from the planet Heaven, but now we are, we that are born again by the Spirit of God, and we are citizens of a new country, and that country is Heaven. Hallelujah. So I have some other scriptures here about pilgrims. Of course, we know that we're pilgrims. We're just passing through here. Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Wow, isn't that true? We're all fighting the good fight of faith. How many of you saw that video? Now, I've seen some strange things in church in my life. Now, I've seen some very, very strange things. But I have never seen in my life, now there was a video that was posted on YouTube, and supposedly from this bishop, I have to get his name, because actually they took the video down, and but it was supposed to be a consecration ceremony. Oh, I don't know. It was really, I think it was it looked something like a perverted, anyway, it was perverted, but this supposed bishop, he has grown men. Now, he's in a church service, and there's a whole, probably hundreds of people in this building, and men and women, married men and women, I guess single men and children, whatever. Anyway, this bishop, he's dressed in a funny costume. Now, this is supposed to be a Pentecostal church. So he's up there, and then he tells these two grown men, and they're dressed in suits. They look like intelligent men. And he tells these grown men to lay down on the floor and they lay down, and then they cover them over with a sheet. Now these two men are face down on the rug, and they're covered with a sheet. And then this bishop, so-called, he jumps on top of them, and he's laying on top of these men. Now, like I said, I've seen some weird things in church, but that was one of the weirdest things I think I have ever seen. What in the world would intelligent people, probably college graduates, go into a church building and then the pastor, preacher, bishop, in quotes, jumps on top of them and lays on top of them, his body on top of their body? It looked very, very perverted to me, ridiculous. Now, if I was sitting in that building and this man jumped on top of my husband, my son, I think I'd go up and I'd grab him and I'd go running for the door, screaming, because there's no, I don't see any scripture for that. I don't see any, did the apostles ever lay on top of people to consecrate them? First of all, what is a consecration ceremony anyway? Because we're born again, we're consecrated when we're born again. Why does somebody have to lay hands on me to try to transfer some anointing? I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want that perverted anointing anyway, because there's no such thing as laying on top of people in church and transferring an anointing. Anyway, like I said, they took this video down, but I guess he got so many complaints, he didn't know what to do. and people asking him to explain himself of why he was laying on top of two grown men, supposedly with a consecration ceremony. So, you know, when we go to church, we have to put our, don't leave your brain at the door. If it looks perverted, talks perverted, please get your pocketbook, your coat, your Bible, and run out of the building screaming, ah! Yes. And don't go back, because it only gets worse from there. I'm trying to find this guy's name. But hopefully by the end of the program, I'm still waiting for my guest to call in, Christine, but I guess she forgot. Anyway, so if Christine doesn't show up today, I'll just be talking a little bit, and then we'll have to do this program at another time. But let's talk a little bit, too, about seed faith. And I haven't talked about this for a while. I was watching early this morning Morris Cirillo on, they have their own satellite channel, the Inspiration Network, and then he's got that guy Steve Muncy on there. Now, Steve Muncy is a pastor, I think in Indiana, and he is a big proponent of sowing financial seeds into ministries, and that God does, you're supposed to get big returns when you give money to get money, which is selfishness. You know, God promises to bless you. I don't think so. If you're only giving to get, well, God can't bless that. It goes against scripture. We're supposed to give out of love, not because we want something. I don't like people doing things for me because they want me to do something back for them. So do you think God likes that we only do things because we want something back? That doesn't sound Christian to me. So anyway, Steve Muncy, now he's telling you that if you give $900, God's going to bless you, God's going to get your children off drugs, he's going to restore marriages. And meanwhile, a few months ago, there was a report on the internet that Steve Muncy's church was actually going into foreclosure. So I guess he's preaching the seed faith gospel, and he's telling you to give $900, $9,000, whatever, and God's going to bless you. But yet, it isn't working for him. It didn't work for Oral Roberts and Richard Roberts. At one time, they owned a university. They owned the City of Faith. I don't know if you've ever been there. I've been there when they had the City of Faith Hospital that they raised $80 million to build. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful building. It was a good idea to have a Christian hospital. But it wound up closing up. And they sold the building, or they lost the building, I don't know. But anyway, their university, Oral Roberts University, is no longer owned by the Roberts family. They were over $50 million in debt for many years. I don't know how many years they were $50 million in debt, but they were always in debt. And Seed Faith did not work for the two biggest Seed Faith proponents, Oral and Richard Roberts. So if it didn't work for them, then why would it work for you? We don't bribe God to bless us. We ask God for what we need, and he knows even what we need before we ask. So anyway, he's telling people to give all this Seed Faith gifts and making all these promises, and I'm wondering why these people are still on television, you know. I'm wondering why this is still going on, why people are still falling for this con. It's nothing but a con game, a Ponzi scheme to get your money. I don't have any, I don't care if preachers take up offerings. If they want to take up an offering, that's fine, but at least tell people the truth. Don't promise them the world because they give you money, and you're promising them all these miracles. We don't have to buy miracles. Miracles are free. And, you know, thank God for the internet, and thank God for YouTube and some of the ministries out there that expose these things, because you don't have to tithe. You don't have to sow seeds to get God to bless you. You're his child. You're children don't come up to you with a $5 bill in their hand and say, here, Mom, I need $100, so I'm going to give you five and or ten, and because I'm giving you this money, then you have to bless me back. No. So do you think God is like that? No, I don't think so. But the Bible says that you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more does your Father in heaven give good things to you? So you don't have to bribe God. You don't have to buy blessings. All you have to do is ask. So if you're going to a church and the pastor doesn't live by faith or walk by faith, I think you should just leave. Because have you noticed that most of the big proponents of the seed faith gospel and the tithing gospel, they don't live by faith? No, they don't. They live by 10%. Now, just imagine if you had 1,000 people giving 10% of their income to you. Wow. Now, you would be prosperous, right? So I would like to challenge people like Creflo Dollar and Kenneth Copeland and Jesse Duplantis and Paula White and all the rest of them, that if they want to preach faith and trying to tell you how to trust God and then they live by 10%, well, forget it. That's not faith. And the Bible says that whatever is not of faith is sin. So, I think that most of these telethons and seed faith gospel and tithing gospel, it's not faith, it's sin. Also, the Bible says that when you give your alms, you give it in secret. You don't run up to the front with your check. You notice how they like to intimidate you in these churches where when they take up the offering, they want you to bring it up front. So then you feel kind of intimidated because you have people sitting all around you and they see that you're not going up front with your money. Did you ever feel intimidated? I know I did when the offering basket came around and I didn't want to put anything in it, and I felt intimidated that the usher saw I wasn't putting any money in there and the people next to me saw I wasn't putting any money in there. So that's why the Bible says you don't have to give your make a big public display out of giving your money and then bragging about it. You know, you notice how they have these testimonies where people come up and they say, well, what happened to you when you gave your tithe and you were sowing seeds into this ministry? Tell the people what happened. They tell you, oh, wow, the Lord paid off my mortgage and I got a new car and my daughter got healed and my son got saved. And well, none of that is true because God probably would have done it anyway. He doesn't need your money. The last time I checked, God didn't need any money. They like to tell you, hold your offering up in the air and wave it at God. Like what is God going to do with money? He never needed any money. When he spoke the earth into existence, when he created man, when he created woman, did he need any money? No. He didn't need any money. And he doesn't need any money now. God's not broke. He owns it all. So you're not giving it to God. You're giving it to a human being to do what they need to do, whatever, turn the lights on or pay the mortgage or whatever, you know, if you're going over to a church building. But you're not giving it to God because God doesn't need any money. I don't see any scripture in the Bible where it says that you have to give God money. He doesn't need any money. There's no money in heaven. When you get there, there won't be any money up there. He doesn't rain it down from the sky. You know, they like to tell you, oh, well, God will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you will not have room enough to receive. Well, he's not raining down money from heaven. No, there's no money trees in heaven. Money is a means of exchange for the earth. And we give it to each other. We bless each other. And that's how it should be, is that if you want to bless somebody, that's how Christianity is supposed to be. We're supposed to do things because we love people and we really want to help people. I think that if we really developed that attitude, we'd see a lot more strong Christians instead of, now you see every kind of flaky thing, like that nutty guy, that bishop that was laying on top of these grown men. Oh, jeez. I'm like, oh, please. And of course, when the gospel is being so perverted, then you notice that there's a lot of sexual sin in these churches, adultery, fornication, and things like that. So error breeds sin. And that's why it's very important for people to read their Bibles. And if you're pastor, preacher, whatever, is teaching another gospel, well, confront them with it. And if they don't let you ask questions, then you need to leave. You don't need to be a part of that. You don't need to try to prove yourself faithful to some cult leader or some false prophet, because before you know it, if you're not careful, you might fall for that, and you might not be able to get out of it. It's hard for people. Have you noticed that? Because Jesus said that it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, because it's hard for these people, once they've tasted the good life, making millions of dollars, living in mansions, flying in their own jets, chauffeured limousines, Rolls Royces, Bentleys, whatever. It would be very hard for them to give that up and start preaching the truth. When you look at also like the TBN ministry, they're worth over $1 billion. So it would be very difficult for them to give all that up and start trusting God by faith to pay their bills instead of manipulating people and trying to bribe people. I mean, it is really a disgrace. What has happened to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? What's happened to our innocence? And isn't it better to be a little innocent and a little naive than to wind up like Richard Roberts, who gets arrested for drunk driving? Because what happens to these people if they've ever known God and the Holy Spirit starts to convict them? They know what they're doing is wrong, so they have to turn to drugs, they have to turn to sex, they have to turn to alcohol to try to quiet that still small voice that's trying to get their attention. But wouldn't it be better if these people could repent and admit publicly that they have deceived people and they have preached another gospel? Yeah, it would be a lot better. And then they wouldn't have to be humiliated in public by being arrested for drunk driving and dying of drug overdoses. Awful. Falling into bankruptcy and all the other things that go with it, because it's like the Bible says, when pride comes, then comes a fall. So if we're not willing to repent and admit that we're wrong, well, then we're going to take a fall. And wouldn't you rather have God correct you secretly than have to be exposed publicly? It's just awful. So we want to see some changes, and this is a new year. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that we can see some changes this year. I'm hoping for some of these people, some of the big name preachers, I don't know who, will repent openly and publicly and ask the body of Christ for forgiveness for what they've done to deceive people, to manipulate people, to steal the widow's mite. They would do anything. I was in a church one time where some con artist preacher was up there telling people to bring up $99 or whatever to get their healing. And there was an old crippled woman that came up, and she was holding her check in the air. That broke me down. I couldn't take it. I said, this is awful. This is really awful. And the pastor that was the church I was attending at the time was endorsing that. And I said, this is wrong. I mean, it is really wrong. Where's the compassion in that? Where's the love? There isn't any. And how's the world going to know and come to know Jesus Christ if we can't have a good testimony and we can't treat people right ourselves, if we're just always trying to get over on people? And we only do things because we want money. There's nothing wrong with money. We have to have money to live, but it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And many have erred from the faith because they had a ministry, they had a public ministry, they had maybe even a successful ministry, but they only did it for the money. And they didn't do it because they love God and they really love people. So we can see that the end of that is destruction. And is it really worth it? No, it isn't. Because what's really worth striving for is to please God and to to be humble and to remember where we came from. You know, because we're not all that they like to tell you. We know that in ourselves there's no good thing. The only reason we have any righteousness or any goodness in us is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to let you know today that Romans 10:10 says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Because you have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that he is God, believe he is the Savior, and repent of your sins. And Jesus Christ will come into your life, and he will change your life and give you a better life. And he, and you know something? God can write a book of all the things that God has done. Yes, he can write a book. And he wrote the Bible. He wrote the Bible. It's a guidebook. It's our guidebook for life. And if we take that Bible and we sow the seed. Now, there's a seed that's worth sowing. If you sow the seed of the Word of God into your life, into your heart, and that's an incorruptible seed. That Word of God goes into your mind and into your spirit, and it changes you, it washes you, it cleanses you. John 3:3 says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John 3:7 says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." 1 Peter 1:23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." The Bible says that though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. And any of us that have been born again, and I've been born again for about 31 years, and I wouldn't trade my life with Christ for anything, for all the money in the world, whatever. No, I would not trade it, because Jesus Christ took a broken, messed up, stupid life, and he made something beautiful out of it. He gave me peace. He gave me joy. He gave me all the things that I couldn't get anywhere else. He gave those things to me. Most of all, he gave me eternal life and forgiveness of my sins. And I knew I was a sinner. Yes, I knew I was a sinner. I didn't like it when somebody told me I was a sinner at first. When they told me I was a sinner, I got angry at the person that was telling me that. This is before I was saved. But after I asked Jesus into my life and I realized what a lousy, miserable sinner I really was. And I'm not saying I'm perfect, no, but I have the life of God inside of me. I have his word. And I have peace, and nobody can take that peace away from me. Nobody can take the joy of the Lord away from me. No matter what happens to me in this life, I have the joy of the Lord. I have his precious promises, and you can have those promises too. Well, we have a caller. Let me see if it's Christine. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, caller.
Oh, I was just listening, but I wasn't able to hear your conversation before, but I seen the title talking about aliens and UFOs.
Yeah, we were going to be talking about that with Christine, but I guess Christine didn't call in today, so we're going to have to do this program over again.
Oh, okay. So y'all talking about gun control a
little
bit?
We're going to talk about gun control, yeah. I'm going to have to reschedule the broadcast.
Oh, okay, because I usually listen in on Saturday, but my son had a basketball game today. But the title of the program looked kind of interesting because
I think maybe she forgot, but anyway, we'll have to reschedule the program.
Yeah, I definitely would like to weigh in on that conversation because I think it is something that, I mean, you can't just put it off to a bunch of wackos. I do think that the Bible tells us that the enemy can appear as an angel of light and different things, and usual phenomena that we see in the sky that I think are demonic in origin.
Yeah.
And we got to not be caught up on the either side because there's a group of people that just deny it, but then there's a group of people that carry it to the extreme.
They carry it to the extreme.
Prometheus saying that we are the offspring of aliens that left us here. I mean, you can go to the stream on either side, but you have to be able to, decipher what the as the Bible said, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices.
That's
because
right.
I think that it is going to play a part the closer we get to Jesus' return because. When you look at Revelations, you see a lot of things that kind of remind you of some of these movies you see with the invasion of creatures and with all the unnatural phenomenon that happens, freakish storms. I think that's more and more we're seeing that the enemy is revealing itself as the Bible told us he would in the end. He would, be able to deceive the whole nation.
That's it, because really these manifestations, a lot of them are demonic manifestations, and people think they're seeing aliens, but they're actually seeing these devils.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, sometimes I think that the enemy reveals itself to the masses, and he kind of, like, hides in plain sight, and a lot of people kind of, like, cast it off, like, oh, that's nothing. And he kind of like plays into a lot of people's belief in science and belief in, this we being the only beings here in the universe, that mankind, we're the center of everything. And they disclaim that it could be any, supernatural beings other than us. And the Satan can play into the both extremes, like I said. And I'm just been studying a lot of stuff the last couple of years myself, dealing with these aliens and UFOs and stuff, because I used to see the shows, and I'm like, those people are wackos. But then when I started thinking about some of the things that I had experienced in my own life, I said, well, maybe it's got to be something to it. And if you just discount it when it happens, then you could easily be drawn in to believe, well, there is no God. So you have to be prepared to not just, totally deny it. You got to kind of, like, investigate it for yourself, ask God to give you revelations and know, hey, that's demonic.
Yeah.
Because I have had experiences in my past where I declare I was wide awake and I seen certain things and I said, no, they can't be. But when I think back to scripture, I said, that was a manifestation of a demon.
Yeah.
That was a demon.
Yeah.
I just call it just like what it is. It was a demon.
Yeah. they look like some kind of demonic beings because these, if you've ever seen some of these programs on TV and they show pictures of these beings, and yeah, they look definitely demonic.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things I think is going to be a big contributor to this UFO is the increase in psychotic drugs and illegal drugs.
Right.
I'm saying that because, when I was young, I can say it now because the Lord delivered me and I'm saved, but At one time, I had experimented with PCP. I'm going to make a long story short because I know your time is short, but I was driving my car, and I'm driving. I mean, I was coming back from a concert. I drove past this lake, and as my car got to the lake, you ever seen the creature from the Black Lagoon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I seen the creature from the Black Lagoon come up out of the water. Now, Susan, I seen him. I was waiting because I was driving my car.
Uh-huh.
He started chasing me. He started chasing after my car. I heard him.
Uh-huh.
He was right outside of my window. And just as I was getting ready to go up the hill, he reached out and he tried to grab me. But I zoomed up the hill and I looked in my rearview mirror and I seen him. Now, as I think back to what happened, this is what I believe. I believe that I was in the process of dying. I believe that just like when we die, God sends an angel to collect our soul. I believe that Satan was sending a demon to collect my soul, but somebody somewhere was praying for me, and he didn't get me.
Yeah.
If he had got me, I would be in hell right now. That's what I believe.
Yeah.
That's what I believe I seen. I think it was an actual demon that manifested to come get my soul, and he just wasn't able to get me that night.
Yes. You know, what you're saying is so true, because we see today there's such an onslaught of drug use and prescription drug use. So people then, they say, well, I'm getting these prescriptions from the doctor, because they're handing out OxyContin and Ambien and these drugs like fentanyl patches, these painkillers. They're handing them out like
fentanyl,
candy.
What's that for? You said fentanyl patches?
Yeah, it's a painkiller, but they usually used to use it in only for people that were going through surgery. But now they've been handing it out. So there was a story on the internet a couple of days ago about the mayor of New York. He wants to put a stop to it, that when people come to the hospital emergency rooms that they can't get their OxyContin and their fentanyl patches. And also there was a story about the sleeping pill Ambien, which can cause people to sleepwalk. They can sleepwalk. I have a friend that's born again Christian, and she was given a prescription of Ambien sleeping pill, and she actually got up about 3 o'clock in the morning and got in her car and was driving. And the next day she remembered nothing except that she was stopped by the police, and the police knew her, and they said, what's happening with you? And she couldn't really communicate with them, and they realized that she was probably taking Ambien because they had seen it before, and they drove her home, and then the next morning her roommate told her that she had been out driving in her car.
So you mean you'll be actually able to drive on the road?
Yes. And not remember.
But you're
the next
sleeping.
Day you won't remember it. You sleepwalk. I have another friend that's a born-again Christian that took it, and she was sleepwalking in the middle of the night and didn't remember it the next day. So that's how powerful these drugs are. And it's like you're saying, when you took the PCP and then the devil came to get you. Yeah.
But see, that
Bible...
same night, right after that, I drove on home, and my heart was racing real fast.
Yeah.
And I laid down, and once again, I closed the door, and the door was opening, and I thought it was my mother, but it was the Grim Reaper. He had a sickle. And I said, no, go away, leave me alone. And then my mom came in and said, what's wrong with you, boy? And I never messed with that stuff ever again, because I was like, this cannot be real. But like I said, now that I think back to it, I think it was a demon manifesting himself trying to come and take my soul on the hill.
Well, the Bible talks about pharmakia, which is sorcery, which is the use of drugs. And we have so many, even Christians, that are addicted to painkillers and sleeping pills and different drugs that, they play games with your mind. So, you could see anything when you're stoned on these drugs.
Yeah.
And,
I hear you talking about natural herbs a lot on your programs and things like that. and just being
well,
able
I
to
think
deal
that
with,
a lot of these, a lot of the drugs that are being prescribed for people, especially this thing OxyContin, it's a big epidemic. And at one time, they would only give it to people that were dying of cancer. And now, if you go to the dentist or you just go and you have a pain, they'll give it to you. And it's very, highly addictive. It's more addictive than heroin.
Whoa.
And it's a synthetic, it is a form of heroin. That's why people get addicted. And they've actually, even in our area here, where people would go into a drugstore in the middle of the day and go back to the pharmacy counter and hold a gun to the pharmacist to try to get run out with the OxyContin. That's how highly addictive it is. So.
Oh, well, that reminds me of here in North Carolina, we have a big meth problem. So
yeah,
when you go to the drugstore, they keep all the pseudoephedrine, you know, like the decongestant. It's
yeah.
behind the counter, and you have to sign for it, and you can only get maybe, I think, like one or a couple a day because that's the ingredient they use to cook the meth up.
Oh.
Yeah. So, you're right about the pharmacare part. I think it, like you said, it's going to play a big part in the end-time delusion that people are on, especially once they legalize marijuana, which I think is going to either probably be this year or next year. I really believe that they're going to want to start taxing it to get, you know, money
yeah.
for the government.
That's it. Exactly, with the tax on it, and then more people will, of course, I guess they figure there's already so many people using it,
yeah.
they might as well legalize it so they could collect a tax on it.
Yeah, well, a lot of states are going to it, and from what I understand, the federal government said even they just won't enforce the law. If you get caught, they're not going to really enforce it. They're just going to let people, if that state makes it legal, then the federal government won't arrest you.
Well, it's a crazy world out there because it's like when you go out in your car, it can be dangerous. You have people talking on their phones. You have people texting. You have people stoned on all kinds of prescription drugs and non-prescription drugs. And it's crazier than ever. I've never seen such a crazy time. And so then, of course, then when these devils start appearing to people through UFOs, they start thinking they're seeing Martians and whatever, and these people talk to them and tell them things, and now even the United States government is funding these trips to Mars to try to find life on other planets, which is ridiculous because we know there's not... there isn't any life in any other planet except for heaven.
Well, quick before you go off, I just want to get on that point that you was talking about the drugs. From what I understand, a lot of the scientific discoveries here in the last couple of hundred years were made while the people was hallucinating on drugs. Like I think the guy that discovered the DNA strand, I think his name was Hicks or something. I can't remember, but I think he was high on LSD or heroin or whatever.
Oh.
His imagination, he said, okay, this is the DNA chain, how it looked. And so, you know.
oh, dear. What happened to my caller? Something happened to. I'm sorry, caller, but somehow you got dropped. And I don't know what happened, but I didn't hang up on you, but somehow your call got dropped. Anyway, I want to thank the caller for calling in and for his comments. But, you know, that's very true because when I was growing up in the 60s, we had people using all kinds of drugs, and they would see all kinds of things because they were stoned. So I think a lot of that with the UFOs and the people seeing aliens, it does have a lot to do with drug use, hallucinations, and so it's an interesting topic, and it's something that we need to get into. Is this my caller back?
Yeah, well, yeah. All I wanted to ask you, when do you think the next you're going to bring her on to talk about this?
Probably in about 2 or 3 weeks. Probably, you know, she probably just You know, maybe she had an emergency come up or whatever, but yeah, it'll be in another 2 weeks. I have a guest coming on next week to talk about the end times.
Okay.
And so then I'll try to reschedule Christine. But I want to thank you for calling in.
All right. All right, Susan. God bless.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Okay. Thanks for listening. All right.
All right. Bye.
Appreciate you. Bye-bye. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in today. And I'm sorry our guest, we'll have to reschedule her and for another time to talk about this topic. But we have some great programs coming up in the future. We'll be talking about one of the preachers, McFarland, who was molesting people. We'll be bringing on some people that were involved in, with some of the people that were molested. Also, we'll be talking about the end times. We'll be talking about the book, The Harbinger. What do you think about The Harbinger? And is what they're saying in this book, is it true? Or is it another gimmick? We'll be bringing on some guests for that. And don't forget, tomorrow, and if you're near Nanticoke, Pennsylvania, to stop by and hear James Sundquist at the Tree of Life Christian Fellowship. He'll be there tomorrow evening in Nanticoke. So here's the phone number, 570-735-4737, and that's with Pastor John Murray. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And don't forget, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you can be born again today. You can have a new life in Christ. Old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. Give your life to Jesus today. Repent of your sins and give your life to Christ. You'll never regret it. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.